Hello, friends.
I'm Brittany.
Taylor.
We're just here. We didn't pull up our thing today. So I don't even know.
We're here to share some tips and tricks about mental health in your everyday lifestyle. And today we're going to talk about communication. We're doing it in three parts. So we're going to start off first talking about how to form healthy communication and how to actually make somebody feel heard. And then the other two, we're going to give application real life scenarios for different relationships people have. So those are our setup today.
Perfect. And this was a good indicator that for communication, sometimes you have to be concise because we didn't have our opening intro written out and I couldn't remember.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there we go.
Sometimes you have to do things on the fly and remember generally what we're talking about. So today we're going to talk, though, about the six skills that I learned when I was in grad school of how to make somebody actually feel heard and progress a conversation. And they will give them to you step by step. We referred to this in our Raising Anxious Generation workshop, and we'll also talk about it now to highlight it. So
perfect.
Brett, have you had a time where you feel like you were communicating clearly, but it just didn't quite land with that person?
So many. Like, so husbands, like, or work?
I don't know. I get it with Mattson all the time where I'm like, I told you this. And then, like, literally the other day, I forgot what he was about, but it was like some detailed thing. Oh, no, it was a TV show.
Okay.
And I was like answering his question. And we were going through and I was like, Mattson, this happened. It, like, this person was having an affair on her husband. And then it was Desperate Housewives. So,
okay. I binge watched that during my divorce. So I, yes. Okay. Got it.
So I was like answering his questions, but he was like, what? Who? So, what? And I was like, Mattson, this isn't the hard, like, and I was like laying it out like step by step. And for some reason, he just wasn't getting it. And I was getting so frustrated that he wasn't understanding me and he was getting frustrated. I wasn't understanding him. And it was really interesting to see how defensive and how angry we got just because it wasn't even anything big. It was a dumb TV show. Like,
yeah.
It literally doesn't even matter. And we were so mad at each other for a second. I was like, this is how communication can go so bad. And think about it on a bigger scale than just that. It can go pretty bad.
Yeah. I feel like too, so like, I mean, that reminds me of like bigger scales, right? Where it can go badly is like in co-parenting and stuff. Like sometimes you like think that you're sending something super concise in an email and then it's like, wait, this is not what I thought you were saying. And it's like, hold on. Like I said it clearly in the email. And then you reread it and it's like, oh, maybe I wasn't as clear as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Like there's, so sometimes you think that you have it all pulled together, but it's really hard to mess up communication. Like no matter how much you put thought into it.
Mess up communication?
No, like it's easy. It's easy.
Really easy to mess up communication.
That's what I meant
really
to say.
Yeah. So it's like, wait, see, even like that, where your brain is going faster than your words, you can articulate what you think, but then it doesn't go as well as you think it should. So it's very common, which is why they gave us a bunch of communication skills when we were in it. But good communication isn't about like doing the perfect skill. It's about how you leave the person feeling. And that was the number one thing that they'd always push us is like, it's not about what you're saying. It's how you say it and the tools that you use to communicate and like progress a conversation forward. So are you leaving them feeling good and happy? Or are you leaving them feeling angry and sad? Or are you leaving them feeling confused, right? So the whole goal is to try and convey emotions and the message, overall message that you want, not like you're never going to get the words right. And I have so many parents being like, he laid out for me exactly how to say it. And like, it's not going to come out exactly as like, and how I say things isn't going to come out. You say things like, it's just not going to work that way. But,
and you like, don't want a formula. Like so James, like bless his heart, my husband, like we had worked through some things with like different ways to communicate. And he was like, let me try this with this Enneagram style thing. So he had like gone into ChatGPT and was like, I'm an Enneagram, whatever number plus, you know, I'm trying to communicate with Brittany, who's an Enneagram 6. And so I was like, so he like had this like outline of like, this is how we should like lay out the questions. And this is, well, and so like there was one day we were having a really heated conversation. And so this is where like, you can't always have the exact questions. Cause then he's like, hold up. Let me go grab my paper. And so he like, he got his paper. I was like, I'm really sorry. That sounds really hard for you. What do you need for me? You know, and he's like, just like reading it off the paper and like looking at me. And it's like, bless his heart. Like I started laughing. And so like in that moment, that was a perfect example of like, you can think that like having the exact words to say are going to actually matter and make people feel better. But it's really just about how you make them feel. And so like, I did feel okay on that one just because it was like his intent was there and he was really trying.
He didn't even do the right thing necessarily, but he was trying to do
the
right thing.
He was trying so hard. Yes. So it's like, just make the person feel seen and it makes a big difference.
How you make people feel is the biggest thing in this conversation. And like, they'll escalate depending on how you're escalating and how you're not. So it's all about like the six skills will kind of guide you to that. So this is, easy way to do it is we'll lay out the skills and then give you different ways you can practice them every day at the end of it. But the first one is listen with intent. Well, okay. No, that one's like later on. Why did it reorganize? Guys, my layout reorganized it. So we're going to go back a little bit and we're going to do the first one that I want to do is reflect feeling. Because when you see my acronym, I will post these on social media and post these online. And I think it's one of the downloadable pages that I have from the workshop. It's going to be RR something. Like it's in an acronym. So that's why I'm changing around. But reflect feeling. This is where like you're noticing what people are feeling through what they're saying. It's reading between the lines. So it'd be like... what James couldn't do in that moment where it was like,
yeah, and he was usually pretty upset. Good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like in that moment, right. So like, oh, you're feeling upset. Like I can see that. I understand what you're saying. It's ascribing a meaning to what you're seeing. So Banks will come up sometimes and be like, mommy, I just want chocolate. And I'm like, honey, like, do you just need attention right now? Like, what's the deal? You know? And it's like, yeah, he wants chocolate, but he also wants something else, which is like my attention or feeling. And it's reflecting that back so they can name it and get better at naming.
Yes. And like even Anson the other day, like he'd gone to soccer and he was feeling really overwhelmed by the end of soccer. And so somehow it had gone into this angry outburst. And so I remember sitting there processing it with him being like, hey, I can see that you're feeling a lot more right now. And he's like, I just feel angry. I was like, are you sure you feel angry? Or like, are you just feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling tired? And he's like, well, actually, and it ended up being something completely unexpected, but it was just like, I'm feeling really disappointed. And I was like, let's talk about it. And so like just helping sometimes, like even if you can't pinpoint the right emotion that they're feeling, at least it opens it up. And then they're able to process through and be like, oh, you're right. I wasn't feeling angry. I was feeling something else. And it creates that dialogue.
It's interesting too. People won't even sometimes know that they have a feeling driving what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So when you go and say like, hey, it sounds like, or it feels like, or like I'm getting this vibe or this presentation of emotions, like however you want to word it, but like, when you reflect it back, then it makes them register, oh, I am having an emotion set my tone. And not everybody realizes they have an emotion setting their tone, which is a problem. So when we do name it for them, that's when people start to pick it up of like, oh yeah, I am feeling something. What am I feeling? And it brings it back to that moment of like, let's check in.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. And it's helpful to do that. So
reflect feeling is one of my absolute favorites to progress a conversation. So like, when it feels kind of stuck or when I feel like something's charged or I'm not quite picking up what the deal is, that's the one I'll go and be like, hey, it feels like something's off or it feels like you're overwhelmed or it feels like it is the one that I use a lot because it gets such a quick like snap back and people love to correct you. So if you get it wrong, great. Mm-hmm. It's going to still perpetuate a conversation. Like even when Matt and I are having fights, it almost like makes the fight go better or like open up because I did something and he wants to correct me on it and he wants to be so it's not so much about getting the right emotion. It's about just bringing emotions into the conversation that this one does, which is good because we don't actually do that sometimes.
Yeah. And it's just, I think it like, it's an invitation too for like, hey, like I'm willing to discuss something bigger. Like mm-hmm. I think that sometimes we just need to like give that invitation out there and like mm-hmm. sometimes people might receive us different in that way too, where it's like, oh, like are you actually here to like process with me and like figure it out? And yeah, that's good too.
Second one, reflect meaning. So this one is going under what this is about. Like it's not just like the example you use with the answer where it's like, hey, you don't seem like you're just angry about this. It seems like there's more to it. Like you're disappointed because you feel like whatever, you know, or mm-hmm. bringing in like a bigger theme to things helps a ton. So going under what it's all about and if there's like a theme to it will help a lot. Like it's not just, there's no room. What's the example? It's like there was no room left for you in your own day kind of thing. So it helps just widen that conversation more.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. So just kind of. Yeah. And I remember doing that even like if we go back to Anson's example to be like, oh, like I could see how that was really disappointing for you where, you know, the team didn't quite perform the way that you hoped they had that day. Right. And so it's like, let's talk. And he's like, yeah. And then it was because this and this. And it's I could see that. Reflect meaning.
When you get the theme behind whatever's going on, you get to like a solution faster or you get like closer, more intimate conversations than when you're just going with like name the emotion. Okay, that sucks, and validate the motion, and then you leave it there. When you go under and you get actual meaning behind it, then you're giving yourselves a wider conversation to open up into.
I can see that.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Validate. This one is not...
Okay, I say it's such a charged one a little bit. But,
acceptance versus agreement, guys. Like, you do not have to accept everything, but, or no, you don't have to agree with everything. You have to accept it. Meaning like acceptance is saying like, I acknowledge this is there. I need to leave space for something that is there. You do not have to align with it. Agreement is alignment, right? So validation is not saying like, yeah, I fully endorse that emotion and you should feel that way and all those other things. It's a, I can see your perspective. I understand why you feel that way. So like, and it makes people so not as charged. It really disarms people the minute mm-hmm. that you can just be like, I understand that. Like, you don't have to agree. You don't have to say yes. Like, you don't have to be like, you're right. It's simply like, I get it.
Or even if you don't like understand, like if you like, even if that's hard to say, like, cause I've had some situations recently where I'm like, I couldn't say, oh, I really understand why you're responding this way, but I could say, oh, wow, that sounds really hard. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're really going through something really hard right now. And so then that changes kind of the way they respond to. They're like, yeah, I really am. Like, thanks for seeing that. And it's,
instead you're just like being like, yeah, I see the emotions you're carrying and it makes sense. So validation isn't approval or agreement. It is simply just, I see it. I am there for it. Leaving space for it. That's like all it really is leaving space for it. And you're understanding and comprehending that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So it's not.
Yeah, you don't have to agree with it. Like even the other day, like I'll use the soccer example, right? This will just be our theme through this one. Because Anson felt a lot of feels that day. Yeah. And he was super disappointed about whatever on the soccer field. But I was like, dude, like you're acting like you're literally Ronaldo out there on the field. And this is your first day of a soccer camp in like a neighborhood league, right? Yeah. Like you are not Messi, Ronaldo, like coming off the World Cup, he had really big expectations, right? And so I could validate and be like, wow, I'm really like really sorry that felt kind of disappointing to you, or like, you know, that was really hard that those other teammates had never played soccer before and kicked it into your goal even when they were on your team. Like, you know, that was something that he was really struggling with. But it's not that I was going to be like, but dude, and this is actually something that he had called out, he's like, I just want you to tell me that I was the best one out there. And I was like, I can't do that though. Like that's because you weren't the best one out there, right? Like, so like we don't have to validate the way that they want it to be like, oh yeah, you're totally messy. Like you're fine. You got this. But just,
but you can't validate the emotions are, they make sense. You can understand it, or like, it's just, you're allowed mm-hmm. to feel whatever you're feeling. It's a lot of like, my little guy will be really angry about some stuff sometimes. And I'll be like, you're allowed to be angry. I understand you can be angry, but you cannot have a behavior that then affects everyone else. Like, and so he understands like it's a safe space to be experiencing the things you need to experience. I will hold it for you. So you're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be angry. I can mm-hmm. totally understand, or I can give you that space too, but that doesn't mean then that you get to go and be mean about it or anything else. So that's where I think people think, are worried too when they go into the validation realm, is that they're going to then approve whatever behavior comes after. The two are totally separate things. This one is simply saying, I see it. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, that was hard. Like, I think we could do a whole different podcast episode probably on validation and like how to healthy validate people in a healthy way. Just because there's been some, like I said, some really complex situations in my own life lately where it's like, how do you validate somebody in an adult setting? You know, because like when the kids, it's like soccer, or like, hey, you can be angry, but you can't hit me. Like those are like easier ways to do it. But sometimes it gets so much more nuanced when you're an adult. So just validate, but don't put too much, like, I don't know.
Validate also like, sounds like, I understand you're really upset. I understand you're having a really hard time right now.
Right.
Right. Like that is validation too, is just naming what they're having and then just being present with it.
Yeah.
So it's not even an approval in that moment or anything. It's not even acceptance. It's just, I see it.
Yes.
I see you and I see your struggle.
You're not condoning behavior like Taylor said before.
Yeah. Just, it's a very neutral statement, which I think most people worry that validation is not. And it's actually meant to be one of the most neutral statements, but you're also not like pitting your perspectives against each other, which people don't understand. You don't need to like have your perspective be more than theirs. You're simply just saying, I see your side.
Mm-hmm. It's such a skill. Like, it's
such a weird skill, guys.
And sometimes I feel like I do better at it than others because sometimes I'm like, but I have these other things.
You have to really realize what subjects are going to trigger you and what ones you're going to be fully biased on. And that's what they did in grad school with us, is they like said, these are your areas where you're probably going to struggle the most in. And like, we had this whole layout of it. Like, I know when something comes up in certain areas, like I will be extremely biased in that area and I have to overcompensate and work to validate nicer
yes.
or be slightly different than other areas where it's very easy for me to
yeah.
do. So like, you're going to have natural biases and you're going to have a natural inclination on how to respond to certain things based off your own experiences. That's just stupid to think you won't.
Yeah. I'm even thinking like politics. Like I'm sure like all of us could jump to a very quick heated discussion, you know,
there's been many
with politics on either side.
The other side.
Yeah.
I literally like, people don't always know my side that I'm on.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one where it's a skill.
It is very interesting sometimes. It's a very skill. Yeah.
The next one is listen with intent. So we have been trained to listen to respond, not listen to understand. So we're so worried when we're going into this conversation, like I'm going to communicate, especially important ones, right? With kids, with partners, with work, with coworkers, friends, whatever it is, that you want to make sure that you have that conversation go well, that we're listening to respond. We're not listening to understand. So we're formulating these thoughts all throughout it. Or we're like, it's almost like watching a movie, but one of those intense movies, and you're critiquing it or you're formulating this concept of it the whole time. And you're not actually intaking what's happening the full way. You're trying to get a theme that you have predispositioned yourself to get and to do an analysis that you have predisposed yourself to get, instead of going in a raw slate and being like, I have no idea what this is about. I have no idea what's going to happen. Let's see what happens in this movie. That's what's happening in conversations most of the time, is we're not taking the moment to be like, I have to literally go blank, and it's okay if I pause after they do it. It's okay that I don't have an immediate response. It's okay that I don't have something prepped. I can respond with, let me prep this for a second. Let me come back to this.
And I think one thing that like we've been working on in our marriage too, like James and I, is like not always going into fixer mode after things. Like sometimes
that's 'cause you're not listening with intent. You're going to listen to fix.
Yes. So like you need to listen to understand instead of let me fix, or let me have this predisposition
answer,
idea,
or let me show you my wisdom, or let me like, that's not what we're here for. And it's fascinating because most people think I do that, but Taylor and therapist Taylor are two different people. And my family will tell you Taylor is very ditzy. So like, I don't even do it in my personal life. I don't prep anything in my head. Like when I'm listening, I'm just listening. And then whatever comes out, comes out. But it's the same at work too. Whatever comes out, comes out. But I'm trained to do it quicker than other people. But I'm just sitting there listening the whole time. And then I formulate.
But then you have to like work. Taylor also has to be like, well, that was really dumb. Like you're stupid. Like you can't say stuff like that. Right. We're if you or I are talking in a conversation, you'd be like, girl, that was dumb. Like I remember a conversation we had the other day. And you're like, what the crap are you thinking? Right.
And oh,
like,
I would never say that.
And you would never say that with a client.
I have actually, but it's certain clients, certain people. Certain
yes.
Clients.
And you'd be like super comfortable with them, and it has to be this relationship.
Certain levels.
And it's certain. Yeah. But like you got to seek to understand instead of just replying or fixing or
But I think too, that shows you more authentically I'm listening.
Oh, you were definitely listening. Cause you're like, girl, what the crap is wrong with you? I was like, you're right.
My advice came after, but my immediate response was there.
And for a second, I'm like, where's my validation? Where's my reflecting my feelings? Like, where's my, and she's like, this is stupid.
But again, it was authentic.
It was authentic.
I was listening with intent.
But I'm like, not everybody is always perfect at this either, right?
No, you can see it.
Yeah. Girl, you dumb.
Yeah, you earned that one.
I did earn that one. But.
Does that make sense on listening with intent?
It totally does. Like, yeah. And this is something that I've been working on a lot, actually, in my marriage with James, is just realizing where I'm like, I don't have to fix it. I don't have to like offer solutions all the time, or I don't have give her. Yeah.
Yeah. You're there just to be a sounding board. Sometimes I think people forget. So you're really just there to talk. Like you're not there to like,
I got to fix it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't feel like I ever fix things when like, even in that conversation we were talking, I was just giving you my initial feedback and then I formulated stuff, but like,
and I was like, I actually need help now. And I think that's like just in the communication, if somebody asks you for help, then that's where you give the
help.
But
that's in the guide part. That we'll get.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there.
The next one, the fifth, sixth, whatever, is summarize. So reflect the whole thing back. So this one is meant to be kind of like a, let me wrap it up to make sure that I understand it in my own words. So what happens is, have you ever heard that saying, like when you teach something, you actually know it better because you're able to not only intake the information, but then put it.
I've been doing that after tennis lessons recently. Yeah. Where I've been like, hey, James, can I teach you what I learned in my tennis lesson today?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I want to remember what I learned.
Yes. So it solidifies it, right? So when you're summarizing something, you're reflecting back like, I heard you, I understand it, and I'm intaking it and like kind of reflecting back. But also what it does is it makes people hear what they said to you out loud.
Yes. And actually, my husband's super good at this. And there's been some times where he'll like say something back. He's like, okay, so what I heard you say and what my takeaway is blah, 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 blah. And I'll be like, no. Actually, that's not what I meant to say. And so then it gives you a time to kind of clear it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's a great way to either be like, hey, yes, they understood me, or hey, actually, no, that came across wrong. And like, I didn't mean to say it that way. That wasn't my intention.
Could be like a communication,
yeah,
error or something like that. This is actually my least utilized one that I use.
summarizing.
Yeah, I could probably do a little bit better at that sometimes, but I don't really like summarizing.
It's hard sometimes. I struggle with it way more. Like James is really good at it, and but I appreciate that.
Really like it.
Yeah.
Versus other ones, hold on a second. Other ones won't. That's fine. Welcome to Scooby Doo, guys. Come on back out.
Yeah, just the way that our brains process things sometimes, and we're like, I'm really good at like listening with intent. Like that's something I do better at sometimes, or you know, I don't know. Actually, I'm not as great at that. I take it back because I try to fix things. But like,
you're a really good guide.
I'm a really good guide. But I'm also good at validating. Yeah. I feel like I do okay at that. And yeah.
The last one is guide, which is like you should only ask first. But it's like, do you want to vent or do you want to figure it out together? Like it's figuring out, like you're asking permission to then go into fix it mode, right? Mm-hmm. But we jump to that so quickly. This should be the last utilized skill, by the way, guys. You should be listening, having a conversation, being inputting all these things, and then finally be like, well, do you need help? Do you want I need help? Like this one. This one's meant to kind of like help them see if they actually need help, support or not.
Yeah. A good example of this is my stepdaughter. She's 8. And a lot of times she'll tell me things that she doesn't want me to do. Okay. And so like I've worked on like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this, blah, blah, blah. But the other day I caught myself and I was one of those. She needed something. I don't even remember. We'll say she needed something in the kitchen, right? Because it was something like that. And I remember her like, we went through the whole steps and I was like, oh, like I can see that you're hungry right now and blah, 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 blah. Oh, wow. What I'm hearing is that you need something to eat. And she's like, just like kind of having a meltdown about it. And then I was like, I can ask first. Hey, did you just want to vent about this? Or did you actually want my help making a sandwich? She's like, no, I actually need your help making a sandwich. I was like, okay, I can help you make the sandwich. But I feel like so often, like in the past, I would have jumped right into like, let me make you the sandwich. Mm-hmm. That it's like, I would miss all this other whatever was actually going on. Like, hey, actually, I'm sad because, you know, I didn't get snuggled my cat today or whatever it is, right? But like, and so you miss all these other feelings when they don't always want you to be the guide. Like it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting because everyone thinks when you're a therapist that you give advice. And I'm like, that's actually like maybe 5% of what I do.
Yeah.
95% of what I do is the first 5 skills that we named. Like it's a lot of going in between those skills and finally being like, do you need help? Like where are we going with this? What do we want to do with this? But people jump so quickly to that one because it's quick and it gives you your opinion out there. You get to be in control. The other ones are a lot of gray areas that you can get lost in a conversation and they take a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the key is you should be giving a long time to people that are important to you. So you should be giving the 45 minutes to 15 minutes and not doing it with your phone in your hand.
Yeah, which is hard to remember sometimes, though, that like they do communication, like in order to communicate well, like it takes a lot of time. And so like James is a brother. Then he was like, it sounds like you and your wife have a lot of these like really big conversations. And James was like, well, it's because we're trying to figure out how to like get through some of these challenges. Like we're trying to do this. And he's like, oh, well, it's just easier for me just to ignore it sometimes. And so it's like, that is an easier way to do things sometimes. Mm-hmm. It feels like, because it takes less times. It's less stressful. It'd be like, oh, just give them what they want. Like go straight to the guide mode, you know, be like, oh, they're just hungry. I'll just give them a sandwich. But like, you miss all those other steps in between if you don't. And so it's a hard thing to remember sometimes.
Yeah. I think you remember, though, that if you value that person, you'll give them their time. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's a simple equation of if I value you, I'll give you my time.
Totally.
Without divided attention.
Yeah. But it's like learning to do this. That's kind of the kicker. Like,
so we'll do the skills really quick one more time. It's reflect feeling, reflect meaning, validate, summarize, listen with intent, and guide. Which one do you think you do the best? I think you said it earlier.
I probably do the best at like the reflect feeling and meaning. Mm-hmm. And then my worst is probably listening with intent because I always go to guide.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to fix things.
I feel like mine now is summarize, which is funny. Like they worked with us so much. But my worst one now probably is summarizing and listen with intent with my husband because I just jump to whatever conclusion I want. But it's funny because at work, I'm really good at that one. But with him, I'm just like, nope. But it's interesting. Certain people, certain things in relationships, you're going to notice that you tend to do great in other areas. And then other areas, you're like, nope.
Terrible. I mean, like I said earlier with you, like clients, you'll do like do one thing. You're like, this is actually the right way to do it. Then with me, I'm like, what the crap? I'm like,
hey, yarn it. All right. Anything else for this one for Wisdomonious?
I don't think so. I think it's just like, be patient with yourself as you're learning this. I mean, like so many other things, it doesn't always just happen overnight. Like Taylor, like, I mean, I have a master's, or not, I don't have a master's, Taylor has a master's in therapy, but I just have like my degrees in communication and it's like, still I struggle with it, right? Like it's hard sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's an ongoing ever, they used to call it an art form. I'm a master's of art for a reason, which I'm like, I don't disagree on that. Like communication is an art form, and trying to learn each person, like it's almost like a different brain with every person I work with.
Oh yeah.
Every brain, I have to figure out which one of the skills really lands with that person. And then even then, sometimes it's like a trial and error multiple times on that same person to figure out which one they like the most. And it's a journey. So you just try them all out and then see which one tends to land, and then keep repeating and practicing those more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a learning curve, and it's worth the time to put into it. It does build greater and deeper relationships.
You're going to sound like a robot at first, and that's fine. Like it'll become more authentic and you'll find your way to actually present it. Like I am a pretty chill therapist. So my way of asking, like, feeling is sometimes like, what is that? I'll be like, what is that emotion? Like, what is this vibe? What is that change? What is that shift? Like other times it'll literally be like, it seems like, and I'll use the phrasing of the therapy thing. So you'll find your style with your person and how you need to do it, but it becomes more authentic just the more you pull it out. And when you specifically are like, I'm going to go into this and it's a low cost, like low stakes thing, and I'm going to summarize, I'm going to guide, or I'm going to whatever, then you can test it out. People love guide. Don't. That's like the last one to use, guys.
Yeah. And it's so easy to jump to that. Yeah. Since, yeah. Because like I said, I feel like I jump to that a lot.
Everyone does.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's not just me.
No, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fixer mode.
Fix it mode is usually the first.
Fix it, Felix.
Hope these skills help you guys with the everyday conversations. They don't replace professional support if there's something bigger going on. So if you have like need couples therapy, family counseling, things like that, this will not do it. But like, this is meant to help give you kind of some basic steps that you can do, very straightforward, practice a skill. We're going to give more application of what it looks like and sounds like in the next two episodes with different types of relationships. So the first one will be more with teens, if your teen is struggling with mental health specifically, or just teens in general. And then the second one will be like relationships, especially romantic relationships.
Perfect.
All right.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you on our next episode.
Bye.